I sure am glad you're here today. We do have some folks that aren't able to be with us today. They may be out of town or some may be under the weather, but I am thankful that you're here. This year here at Azalea City, we're talking about the theme of focus. I think it's a very, very practical and vital theme in our walks with our God. I think it's very critical that we put our attention where it needs to be. The first month of this year, we spent our time talking about what causes us to be distracted. That distraction is ultimately sin. Sin causes us to be distracted, and when the sin is put before us, the temptation is put before us, sometimes we turn our attention to that, and certainly that can lead to becoming who we are. Of course, in the month of February, we talked about focusing on love. My brother Larry, even in his prayer this morning, and I've noticed that's been a prayer of his for quite some time. He said, God, help us to love You with everything we've got, all our heart, our mind, soul, and strength. This month, I want us to talk about growth. Last week, we talked about what growth is. Today, I'm going to talk to you about something that's really, really been on my heart for a few months now. I've been letting it, Travis's word, percolate in me. And, you know, it's just something that I just keep, everywhere I turn, it keeps getting just driven home that I need to talk about this. In fact, this has been on my heart for some time, and I've actually changed the way I look at certain things when it comes to my identity about who I am, and we'll talk more about that. But then I go up to Faulkner this past week and spend some time speaking on the lectureship there, and then also spend some time with some people that serve on the board at Faulkner, and I've accrued some great friendships up there. And so spent some time listening to lectures and going to lunch and different things, supper with people. And one of them is Steve Wages, Dr. Wages, who is a professor of mine when I was going through my counseling, Justin as well. But he's also become a real good friend, and his son, Alan. And so I want to give credit where credit is due. As I sat there at supper with them, we talked a lot about identity. We talked about, that's a big deal with Steve, and really, if you talk about men, if we had a men's retreat, and that may be coming, by the way. He and his son and myself have talked about doing a men's retreat on the Gulf Coast, and so keep your ears and prayers open about that. But the first thing we'll talk about is who are you? Who are we? Then this morning, I was talking with George in the back, and he said, what you preaching on? And I actually saw it on your Instagram before we went to bed last night. Speaking of Instagram, the post that you put, Michelle and I saw that, and it was a great reminder to us. George, in the ninth man today, talked about we belong to Him. We're His. We're not ours. And so with that, I just believe that God and the Spirit want it to be said today. Because Wednesday night, we talked about Matthew 16. And I want you to go ahead and turn your Bible to Matthew 16. By the way, as I was building this lesson up Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, I wasn't going Matthew 16. But then something happened. Wednesday night, we had Bible classes on Matthew 16, and I felt it was a very impactful class. I had several tell me that needs to be preached on Sunday. So what I did is I just went back to the drawing board, like a lot of ministers do from time to time, and I revisited Matthew 16. And with that, I came up with some things that I believe will be very applicable to us. If you were in class Wednesday night, this won't be unfamiliar to you. But today I want to talk with you about this great chapter. I don't know why I went back there, but we're going to be in Matthew 16. But I need you to understand this before we get into it. This is a textual sermon as they come today. We will draw all lessons from the text. Okay? But I need you to understand something. And I'll talk more about this as the points develop. But we're letting culture dictate who we are. We are. We're letting culture tell us who we are. And whose we are. We're letting culture be our judge. We're letting society be our judge. We're letting big houses and cars. And please understand, I'm not saying we can't have nice things. I'm not saying that at all, especially if we use it to God's glory. But we're allowing a world, as George put it, of Instagram and a world of Facebook and a world of whatever social media platform there is. By the way, some of the people that take pictures on Instagram, if you don't know what it is, Facebook bought it some time ago, and really it's a place where you can put pictures. Okay, and I guess now you can put little snippets of videos and different things and all that. But it's essentially a picture site, and sometimes you'll see people post on there, and selfies, that was a word that was invented by social media. Selfies are a lure, just everywhere on there. And it's on Facebook, but it's really moved to these type sites now, and I know Snapchat and all the others. But let me just talk to you about Instagram. There are some of those selfies that some of those girls, and I would suggest guys too, I have heard one person say they took that picture 27 times. 27 times to get the right picture to get 20, 30, 40 likes. Well, let me tell you, I am so thankful today that we don't have to put on a face. We don't have to put on a front. We can come as we are to the throne of Christ, to the cross of Christ, to the throne of God. Justin had a professor, not a professor, but our brother, when Justin was at Auburn, at the Auburn Church of Christ, a lot of people who went to Auburn studied under this man. But he would say, and I heard Justin say this before, and I'm going to borrow it from him. He would say, you can come as you are, but don't stay that way. Come today as you are, but leave here with a changed identity. Our identity matters. Let's get into the text. Matthew chapter 16. I'm going to begin in verse 1. And I told some in the back today, the sermons that get long are the ones when I don't have any notes. Eat some mints. I don't have any notes this morning. Matthew chapter 16, beginning in verse 1. Then the Pharisees and Sadducees came and testing Him, that's Jesus, asked that He would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said to them, when it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites! You know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times? Please note verse 4. This is very important. A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign shall be given to it except the sign of the prophet of Jonah. By the way, the sign of the prophet of Jonah is symbolic for what Jonah did. He went in for 3 days, he came out. And Jesus is talking about there his burial and resurrection. Okay, He said, that'll be a sign. He said, that'll be one that you will see. No sign shall be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed. You know, I think social media is, speaking of social media today, is giving us the mic drop. You know, mic drop. That's a mic drop moment for Jesus. He dropped the mic and he walked off stage. Here's why. Because he taught us lesson number one, reason why people aren't growing today. The church is dying. Please hear me out on that. The church will always exist. We see that right here in Matthew 16. But there are more, and I'm talking about churches of Christ now, churches of Christ shutting their doors now than ever. So there's a growth problem. And in large part, the reason why there's a growth problem is because there's an identity problem. And so with that, it is my mission now to try to help us to understand the importance of why you need to change and I need to change, and we need to re-look at where we are in life and how we live our lives and who we really are. I've heard people say, I'm going to start growing when such and such happens. Or maybe they don't say that, but they live that way, right? Nobody actually, I think, probably comes out and says, maybe I've not encountered somebody that says, you know, when such and such is right, such and such is right, such and such is right, then I'm going to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. They may not say that, but they're living that way. There are people not here today that are living, that are on our roll, that are living in a way that says, hey, when things are just right is when I'm going to be, in other words, give us a sign, Jesus. Give us a sign. Well, I want you to know something. Jesus said signs are all around you. When I wrote the book, 21 Habits of Highly Functioning Families, I think one of the points that really stood out to me and still stands out today, and you've heard me talk about it many times, is you need to talk about how you see God. You see, we're accustomed to signs in this world, in this country. I mean, we've got signs for everything, right? And then people say, well, somebody falls off a step and sues somebody. Why? Because there wasn't a sign there, and so then there's a sign there. Signs are usually a direct result of something bad that's happened. But I want you to know there's a sign of God everywhere around us. Everywhere we turn, we can see God. I saw Cecil May this past week. Dr. May has been at Faulkner now for 21 years, for as long, 22 years, for as long as I have been a junior and senior there, because he came when I was there. His first year at Faulkner was one of my junior, late in my junior year. Well, Cecil May came to my lecture. And he sat on the second row. He slept the whole time. Don't tell him that. But he was there, and I appreciate it. It meant a lot to me. But beforehand, I said, Dr. May, do you remember when you were teaching Christian evidences? And after that class, they labeled me the class atheist. He said, no, I'll refresh my memory. Well, right off the bat, Dr. May, and I'm one of these, and Justin can tell you, he said in online classes with me, I do not like silence. I do not like people not to speak up. It's a nervous twitch of mine. And so when he asked the question, nobody was speaking up. He said, can you prove God beyond a shadow of a doubt? I said, nobody's speaking up. I'm like, oh. I said, no, sir. He very nice, very kind. He said, why do you say that? I said, well, you got to have faith. You got to have faith to believe in. Dr. May very eloquently took my answer and butchered it. And proved to me by the end of that class that, folks, we can't prove God to the senses today. I can't taste Him, I can't hear Him, I can't smell Him, I can't touch Him, you understand? But don't get us wrong, we can prove God today. And I want you to know, if you're waiting on a sign to get right with Jesus Christ, then you're already on borrowed time. If you're waiting on a sign for God to show up in your life, then you are already too late. Because we all can see God, and we all can see Him in our lives. Let me tell you what's happened here. The Pharisees and Sadducees have joined forces. They did not get along. The Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead. The Pharisees did, and this was a split. It was a split that happened. Yes, splits happened even back then. It was a split that happened in this religious sect, and the Pharisees and Sadducees formed these two powerful groups. And they did not like each other, but you know what they did? They put those differences aside to attack Jesus Christ. That's what they did. And so they were not really looking for a sign. They were trying to get Jesus. They were trying to trap Jesus. But today, I think there are people all around us that are wanting God to just show up in their lives like He did to so many in visions and trances and different things back then. But He's not going to, guys. It's like the illustration where the flood was coming. You've heard this before. Preachers have told it. There's a flood coming. And the weatherman reported, there's a flood coming. And the man said, you know what? I'm going to wait on a sign from God to when it's time to go. Well, the water starts climbing, and so he goes to the attic in his house, and people are coming by saying, man, you got to get out of there. His friends, his neighbors, you got to get out of there. The waters are rising. He said, no, I'm waiting on God. God's going to show up. I'm going to get a sign. Well, the waters get to his attic. He gets on his roof. A guy comes by in a boat, says, man, get in the boat. You got to get out of here. No, I'm waiting on the sign. Well, the water's covered now, and he's treading water. A helicopter comes by, drops down a ladder, says, climb on the ladder, get out. He says, no, I'm waiting on the sign. All of a sudden, he dies. He does show up at the gates of heaven, believe it or not. And he says to Peter, he said, where was the sign? He says to God, where was the sign? He said, I gave you warnings. I sent people. I sent a boat. I sent a helicopter. You ignored all the signs. What's a sign today that I need to change? Well, chances are my life's not going the way it should. I want you to know, when I wake up every day, I am determined to have a positive, good day. Sometimes life dictates it a different way, right? But all in all, my life, because of the grace of God, and because of my walk with God, I feel like my life is pretty good. And I'm very blessed. That doesn't mean I don't have bad days. But if you take it and you put it out as a whole, my life is pretty good. If you don't ever have any good days, if you're not ever around any good people, if you're not ever doing any good things, then let me tell you something. You've got an identity crisis on your hands. And the signs are all around you, and you need to change. You need to change. Because if I am not getting closer to God, He's not moving, then that's on me. You see, that's on me. And ultimately, I can blame Terry, and I can blame elders, and I can blame, I'm not saying that people have, but I'm just throwing those names out there. And I can blame youth ministers, and I can blame one-to-one, and I can blame the Bible teachers, and I can blame this. But if I am not heeding the warnings and the signs all around me of God, and the beauty of God, and the love of God, then that's on me. And I need to change that. Don't wait. Don't wait. Man, there's some sad stories coming out of Tennessee. None of them woke up that morning expecting it to be their last. If I wait, the waters may engulf me. Troubles may tackle me. And the devil may devour me. Today is the day to do something about it. But we keep reading in this text. Verse 5. Now when His disciples had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Let me remind you, if you've not studied this, like we've been studying it on Wednesday nights, there have been two occasions where Jesus has fed the multitude with just a few loaves and fish, right? There have been two occasions here. And so, you know what they did? And both times, they were like, hey, we don't have any bread. What are we going to do? And Jesus came to the rescue. Well, now, they're panicking a little bit because they forgot to take bread. So that's on their brain. Then Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they reason among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, O, you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up, nor the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many large baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, but to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees? Then they understood that He did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. I think the second point, the text writes it, right? If I'm going to truly grow my identity in Christ, and I'm going to grow and be who God wants me to be, then I've got to beware of the leaven. Now, I love this story, and it's probably a story you haven't thought a whole lot about, but I think it's such a powerful lesson that's applicable in 2020. Here's why it's applicable. They have now been conditioned to bring bread. Okay, there are crowds following Jesus, and Jesus wants to feed these people. You know, they've tried to run them away, and Jesus said, no, have them sit down, and They got the lad's lunch and they got the other bread, and both times they're like, where are we going to get more bread? We don't have enough bread. So now they're like, hey, we forgot to bring the bread. And so Jesus then speaks up and he says, hey, I want you to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Now, let's talk about leaven for a moment. Leaven, today we partook of unleavened bread. Leaven would cause, a little bit of leaven would cause the bread to rise. And so that was something that they took out in the feast of the Passover and such. And so the feast of the unleavened bread. And so that Passover meal that Jesus partook of is the same one that we're partaking of today to remember that that is the body and blood of Jesus Christ. So it's unleavened. So leaven was a mindset that they understood that, hey, a little bit of leaven can spoil the whole lump. You've heard that, right? Well, with that being said, Jesus says, hey, I want you to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. When they're hearing that, he needs some bread. And so they fess up, hey, man, we don't have any bread. And Jesus just gets frustrated. I can see the frustration in him. And he's like, what are you talking about? You didn't listen to the word I said. And let me tell you, that's a problem today. The same problem they have, the same problem we have. We do not listen to the word he said. They got so wrapped up in physical that they missed the spiritual. And Jesus is warning them against the spiritual. Do not listen to the Pharisees and Sadducees. Do not listen to the nonsense. Do not listen to the negativity. Do not listen to the culture. Do not listen to what they say, because I need you to carry the message to the world. That's what he needed. He's trying to change their hearts and change their thinking and change their identity. The reason we don't change our identity is because we listen to the leaven of others too much. Boy, it's sad to me. It's so sad to me to see families jeopardize their Christianity because their children just have to be popular and have to fit in and have to be like everybody else. Let me tell you, I want you to know that, and they have no idea I'm going to talk about this, But some in our teen crowd yesterday, I believe, went to Faith Academy's version of banquet or whatever, right? And you know what? They're all here today. And I think that's real important. I think it's real important that they went and they said, hey, look, we better be at worship today. But there are so many people today that get wrapped up in trying to keep up. And you know what we're listening to? We're listening to our young ladies who are struggling with who they are and how they look and if their makeup's just right and why they got to take that picture 27 times and this and that. You know why they're listening to that? Because that's what culture dictates is the way you're supposed to look. I could not tell you who would be the number one. I do like to, you know, the survey says the old Family Feud. I don't know what the number one answer is. Who is the most viewed female or popular female today is, but I could have put some names in there. And let me tell you, every one of those names that we put in that people are looking to say, this is the way you're supposed to look, ladies, every one of them are multi-millionaires. And they can afford personal trainers. And they can afford the best, most expensive cosmetics and the most expensive dresses and handbags and nutritionists and everything else. And it is their job, so they can keep their millions, to look that way. Let me tell you something. That's not who the norm is. But we're listening to the leaven of the world. Oh, let's bring it a lot closer to home. We go to school, and there's a certain crowd, guys and girls, that say, you got to be this way or nobody's going to like you. Nobody's going to be attracted to you. Nobody's going to want to date you. What happens if you make it through high school and don't go on a date? You know what people would say about you today? It'd be terrible. that's the worst thing ever, and you know, what are you, blankety blank, and this and that. You must be gay or you must be whatever. Then people are going and they're reading that stuff on social media. And they're developing just different habits, or some are even taking their lives. So what? Or you didn't go to this thing because of this. You didn't go to this event, or you didn't go to this party, or you didn't go to this dance, or you didn't go to this whatever because of whatever reason. There must be something wrong with you. Well, instead of us taking that and being like, oh no, there's nothing wrong with me, I'm a Christian, that's who I am, I'm going to have my identity way up here. No, what we're saying is, oh yeah, well, I gotta get a drift back, and I gotta be more like the crowd. I gotta fit more in with the crowd. And so what's happening is we're raising generations of children that want to be like some make-believe character out there. And that's listening to the leaven. We're letting the leaven spoil our children. And mamas and daddies, we are the ones doing it. My kids will tell you. Bo and Madeline, speak up if you've never heard me say this. I am not sent here to be your best friend. I'm sent here to be your what? Madeline, what is it? Dad. That's exactly right. You were not given to me for me to be your best friend. You were given to me so that I can be your father. But we are allowing the leaven of other parents to spoil us in our family. And that is changing our identity. And if you don't think it's having an effect on the church, then look around us. It is. We're keeping up with the Joneses. And some of us know better. We were raised differently. We were raised in a time when nothing got in the way of worship. But we've allowed our children to dictate it. By the way, this isn't popular what I'm saying today, but you know I'm right. You know I'm right. We got to take it back. There's so many things I want to say, but I don't have any notes, and that's... Is Jesus wrong? No. He said, disciples. Oh, by the way, we're not apostles today. It's not possible. But we are disciples if we follow Him. He said, disciples, I want you to carry out the mission. But you can't give in to the leaven of the nonsense that these guys are spewing. We got to quit giving in to the leaven. That means there will be some decisions that are unpopular and our children will not like, and they will be upset with us. And children, I'm telling you in advance, I'm sorry if your parents take this serious, but I'm not really sorry if it saves your soul. It's an identity problem. Let's continue on in the story. Again, I could preach all day on that. Verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, I don't want you to misinterpret this. Jesus asked the question, who am I? He knew exactly who he was. He did not have an identity problem. This question is not about him, it's about the disciples. Now, this is very fascinating to me. If you go back and look, when Jesus begins his public ministry and people are being healed and people are, and you know, he's doing all these good things and all these wonderful things and miraculous things for people, people knew exactly who he was. In fact, in John chapter 3, a verse that we looked at just a little bit ago, when John had to decrease and Jesus had to increase, remember that? John chapter 3 is when they come to him and John's disciples and Jesus, they're all kind of saying, who is this? Who are you? And John said, look, I was sent to prepare the way. Now he's here. The one who's coming mightier than me, that I'm not even worthy enough to button the sandals button the straps on his sandals. He said, he's the Messiah. So I'm going to get out of the way and let him come in. All right. And so we talked about that. But even John recognized it. All these others knew exactly who Jesus was. But now some time had come, and you know what people are starting to do? Listen to the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And so he said, who are people saying that I am now? Some are saying you're Elijah. Some are saying you're Jeremiah. Some saying you're one of the other prophets. He said, but who do you say that I am? Now I need to talk, and I know we talked real. But if we truly know who Jesus is, preaching would not ever have to be hard. You know, there's an old saying years ago that Jesus, and probably a book, I think it was a book written on it actually. Jesus was one of three. That's all he could be, one of three things. He was either Lord, lunatic, or a liar. Right? Either this man that we learn about in the Bible is truly the Lord, or he's just some crazy guy that claimed to be him, or he's just some liar. Now, I know we get it, right? Oh, Jesus is Lord. We sing that song and we praise him and we praise him all day long and everything else. But let me say this to you. Do we really? There are some people not here today, and granted, there are some that are sick. There are some out of town. I said that at the preface of the sermon. But there are some that didn't choose to be here today because we either believe he's lunatic or liar because he's not Lord. If Jesus is Lord, you can build the foundation of the church on that. If Jesus is Lord, you can move mountains. If Jesus is Lord, we will change our identity. But see, when we leave out of here, we don't listen to the Lord, we listen to the leaven. And so we get weaker and weaker and weaker. And then some people get so weak because they listen to leaven, they try to keep up with the Joneses and they try to keep up with everybody else, that we get to a point where our identity becomes what we are and who we hang around. He said, I know some are saying I'm Jeremiah, Elijah, one of the other prophets. Who do you say that I am? Peter stands up and he says, you are the Christ. Amen. The Son of the living God. That's who he is. My question is, do you know who he really is? Yes, I know. I mean, I'm here and I'm a Christian. Do you really know who Jesus Christ is? He is the Son of the living God. Do you really then know who God is? He is the same God that does not want any other gods before him. Do we really know? Some are living their lives Not that Jesus is Lord, but that He's a lunatic or a liar. And I know people would never admit that are Christians, but that's how they're living their lives. Like this is all make-believe. Like this is all pretend. Folks, there's nothing pretend about Jesus Christ. He's not in a grave dead. He is risen. The only person to ever resurrect themselves from the grave. He resurrected others. Apostles resurrected some, but He resurrected Himself. And He can change your identity. But you got to know who He is. That leaves us one last point. Pick up with me now. Verse 17. Jesus answered and said to him, that's to Peter, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Simon Barjona? No, He said, you are Peter. And on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. He changed Peter's identity. He said, Simon, you are the son of Jonah or John. That's who you are. That's who people know you are. But I made you Peter. You know, if we as men especially, and I said this in Bible class and all, and my brother Danny made a great point Wednesday night in class. But if you ask, if we go out and I introduce my son, somebody introduces themselves to me or whatever, you know one of the questions they're going to ask are, what do you do? What do you do? In other words, who are you? My answer, I'm a preacher at Azalea City Church of Christ, and I'm proud to be the preacher at Azalea City Church of Christ, don't get me wrong. But that's not who I am. That's not who I am. Some of you, fill in the blank. That's who I am. No, it's not. It's not who we should be. Yes, I get it. It's what we do. But it's not who we are. Simon, you are the son of John or Jonah. But that's not who you are. You belong to me. I don't know, I was 16 years old, I guess. I was sitting right around where Bill or Walter Brock are sitting today. Invitation song was led. I walked this aisle. George was our youth minister here. Jeff was the preacher. My grandfather was in attendance. I said, Jeff, I am ready to be baptized into Jesus Christ. I want my grandfather to do it. He said, don't you think you think he can handle all that? I said, I think he can. So my grandfather and I walked these aisles, took my confession. I walked up. I got drank, changed. I went into this water, and I, in this very baptistry, behind this wall, I was immersed into Christ. I was no longer Terry Cagle, first baseman for the MGM Vikings baseball team, defensive lineman for the MGM Vikings football team. Okay student for Mary G. Montgomery Vikings. It changed my identity, right? When I went back to school the next day, people knew I was different because I didn't talk a certain way anymore. I didn't act a certain way anymore. But then over the years, you kind of forget that, right, after baptism. We get wrapped up in the everyday. We get wrapped up in the day-to-day. We get wrapped up in who we are and chasing the American dream and the dollar and everything else. And this is who I am. And we forgot who we became. You see, when I went down in the water, it quit being about me. And it became about Him. I'm no longer who I was because I need to have an identity changed. I need to identify with Jesus Christ. And let me say this. when you, and I'm still not there, I'm still getting my mind around that. It's still painful when your children hurt. But we've got to convince them it's not about pleasing the world. You know, at the end of the day, some of you may tell me I'm long-winded, and that's fine. Many of you will tell me a great sermon or whatever, and I appreciate all those. I'm not real good with expressing that sometimes because it's a little awkward for me. But I want you to know this. I appreciate that. But at the end of the day, this is going to sound so bad. I really don't care whether you liked it or not. Because I'm not here to please you. Now, I can't tell you that hasn't kept me up at night before. And I can't tell you I haven't been worried to death about somebody got offended by this or that, and man, blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I've changed from that. But as of right now, with a changed identity, the way I look at it is it's not about pleasing you, it's about pleasing Him. So if my son doesn't become an all-American, it's really okay. As long as his identity is in Jesus Christ. Last thing I'll say, and then we're going to go to Colossians 3, and the sermon will be yours. I've said for years, and I still get it, okay? I get this. I want my children to have their own faith. But I'm going to punt right there. You know what I mean by that? It's fourth down and I can't get it and I'm going to punt. I'm going to live to play another set of downs. Yes, I want them to not rely on my faith per se, but I do want them to have my faith. You know why? Because I know what I'm doing pleases God. If you study the Hebrew families, Deuteronomy 6, right? If you study there, it said, I want you to teach this to your sons' sons, who weren't even alive yet, chances are. But he said, I want this to be generational. You know why there's so many community churches and so many feel-good things and everything else opening up? Because there was a generation of families out there that said, find your own faith. Shame on them. My grandfather, when I was a young Bible student at Faulkner University, I would see him and he would sit down. You know what he talked to me about? The Bible. When I was a little kid, I tried to avoid it a little bit, to be honest with you. My papa always wants to talk about the Bible. I want to talk about baseball or football or something. But the older I got, I wanted to stop up as much as I could. And somebody asked in class, as I brought that point up in class, they said, hey, was he doing that because you needed to change or was he doing it because that's who he was? And I'm proud to say that's who he was. And that's who I want to be. And that's who I want my future grandchildren to be and their future grandchildren to be. But in order to do that, I can't change maybe the whole world, but I can change the Cagle family that resides at 3166 McRae Drive. It's about Jesus Christ. But in order to do that, I got to do what Harrison read to us a little bit ago. I'm going to read a little more, then we're going to offer the invitation. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things above where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Isn't that what it's all about? Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now, you yourselves are to put off these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. In order to grow, I've got to change who I am. I've got to change my thought process. I've got to change the way I live. I've got to change my identity. Jesus was elevating His disciples in Matthew 16. He said, you're thinking about the temporal. You're thinking about bread. You're thinking like the others. I want you to think about who I really am. And based on who He really was, He built what we are worshiping Him in today, the church of our Lord. And so I want to challenge you. Get your minds around it. Get your hearts around it. Allow God to change your identity. Start right now. Together we stand and sing.